Father, as we gather here this morning, open our hearts to receive your word. Implant in us what each of us needs to be molded more into the image of your Son. And we pray this all in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we're beginning a three-part sermon series called Faithful Stewardship, A Way of Life. And so as disciples of Jesus, we're called to live as faithful stewards, as illustrated by Jesus' famous parable of the talents. And there you remember that they were three servants, and the master gave them each gifts. And then he left on a long journey, and he came back. And then each of them was expected to give an account of how they had used the gifts given to them. So our sermon series will focus on three distinct principles of stewardship. And we start with faithful to stewardship, allowing us to become instruments of God's grace in the world. In other words, when we're faithful stewards, God uses our lives to disseminate his grace in the world. Let's find out more as we turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 11 today. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Now, Peter begins with some really encouraging words. The end of all things is at hand. But he's actually setting the stage here that one day we'll have to give an account for our lives. Now, this past Friday was All Saints Day, which we are observing this Sunday. And it's a day that we rejoice in the interconnectedness of the disciples of Jesus, both the living and the deceased, created by our union with him. Death does not break the bond between believers, but we are united, forever united with them. Now, in Revelation 7, we find this magnificent image of the totality of all the saints from every tribe, language, and nations gathered before the throne of God. All of these saints share something in common. God has distributed gifts to each one, just as the master did in that parable. And while all human beings partake in the gifts of creation, the beauty of the earth, and life, God has also distributed gifts unique to each individual. Now, we haven't received these gifts because we did something to deserve them. On the contrary, they come from God's unmerited favor. What are these gifts? Well, they might be material gifts. You know, God may have blessed you with money or property or things. They may be spiritual gifts. They might be a word of knowledge, a word of encouragement, a prophetic word, a teaching word, a preaching word, a word of evangelizing, or a word of exhortation. Or they might be service gifts like love, hospitality, generosity, helping others, administration, or showing mercy. And there are many, many more. These gifts do not belong to us, but they've been entrusted to us on God's behalf to worship him and to serve others. And that's why Peter says in verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Now, we live in a world that will not last. And so we can't take with us anything that we have. In other words, there's a time limit to it, right? We just won't be able to do that. Peter, therefore, urges his readers to be self-controlled and sober-minded. In other words, they are to perceive the reality that Christ's resurrection has inaugurated. And that perspective is to motivate a self-controlled life. And what he's doing is he's creating a contrast between how they are to live and the Gentiles, which he describes in verse 3, where he says their minds are dulled with excessive drinking and sex and confused by debauchery and idolatry. And so Peter is urging that the Gentiles, he's arguing that the Gentiles, and by Gentiles he means here those who don't belong to Christ, those who are outside of his kingdom. He's arguing that the gifts of God that they use them for their own purposes. That is, the Gentiles use them for their own purposes, often to the detriment of themselves and to others. And, you know, we could say, really, this is understandable. If God doesn't play a part in people's lives, if people don't know who God is, then it would seem that everything that they have really belongs to them, right? You know, this is mine because it's in my life. It belongs to me. And we hear people say this all the time, and we would just be surprised. You know, this is my body to do what I want to do with it, because they don't have any understanding. They think that this is theirs to do whatever they want. Now, for disciples of Jesus, however, this is an unacceptable way to view the gifts that we've been given. When we come to faith, we realize that our lives are not our own anymore, that the things that we have don't belong to us, but they belong to the Lord. Now look at verse 11. Here Peter writes, "All of us in Christ have been made stewards of the grace of God." Now the word steward comes from a Greek word which referred to a person who managed a household with authority delegated to him by the owner. So stewards do not own the house or the things that are in it, but they manage it on behalf of the master. God's stewards act in the interest of their bosses without regard to their own personal concerns. And similarly, as disciples of Jesus, we become part of the household of God and stewards of the gifts that we've been entrusted with. We carry out God's interest. Now, even our modern secular world understands this distinction between ownership and stewardship. I mean, take financial advisors. So fiduciary is somebody who manages a person's money or property on behalf of the client's benefit, not their own. But not all financial advisors are fiduciaries. Only those who are registered as such and are acting in the best interest of their clients. So your brokerage house may be giving you financial advice, but it doesn't mean that they're acting in your best interest. They may be acting on their own selfish interests. And so be aware. And thus, as we think of ourselves, we should think of ourselves as God's fiduciary, who manages the gifts that have been entrusted to us. Now, this coming Tuesday is Election Day, in case you didn't know. I'm sure you don't know. But one of the gifts that we've been given, and we're very fortunate in this nation. You know, we've been given the gift to vote. We all have that gift to vote. My son is going to vote in his first presidential election. Never. But like all gifts, we have to be good stewards of this one. You know, this is not a vote that I get to cast, but it's God's vote, how he wants me to vote in this election. So don't waste this opportunity. Take the time to discern whom God would have you to vote, and then cast your vote on his behalf. You are representing God in this election. Now, does this mean that each of us are going to have identical ballots because we have perfectly discerned God's will? Is there God's perfect ballot? Does that exist? We may think so, but it doesn't exist. Why? Well, first of all, because God gives us different revelations. We understand and receive the world in different ways because of that, and God makes us unique, we're going to see things differently. And the second thing is, guess what? These candidates that we're voting for, they're all broken people just like us. So there is no perfection here. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let's not judge one another. We pray, we trust, and we act in obedience as the Lord shows us. Our unity and love for one another as saints of God, therefore, must always eclipse our affiliations politically. We are disciples of Jesus first, not Republicans or Democrats or independents. We belong to Jesus. And remember this when you're at the dinner table with your family. We are disciples of Jesus first, and it's to him that we owe our loyalty and allegiance, not our particular political affiliation, which is broken, by the way, because we live in a broken world. Now, seeing ourselves as God's stewards of the gifts of God isn't necessarily an easy thing to do. Living in a world that doesn't recognize God, where everyone seems to do whatever they want with whatever they have, you know, it's tempting to see these gifts as belonging to us, that they're just a product of our own ingenuity. You know, I have these things because, you know what, I'm just a great guy, because I just am more intelligent, more whatever than everybody else. And that's why we must grasp deep in the foundation of our souls who we really are. So the purpose of Revelation 7, that first reading that we read, is to describe how the saints of God will remain faithful given the hour of trial that will come upon them. Now notice they're not told, now go through and study your Bible a whole lot. Because the reason for this is because, you know, knowledge can be helpful, but it's not knowledge that's going to persevere through these, get you to persevere through these things. Nor are the saints prepared by just doing a lot of good works. You know, the angel doesn't hold off the tribulation and say, wait until they do enough good works to prove that they deserve this. Rather, the saints are given, and this is earlier on, are given a seal of the living God. And that seal provides protection of the disciples' faith and salvation from eternal suffering. And it's not just a seal of protection, but it's a seal of ownership. And the seal basically says, I belong to God. I belong to the Lord, the living God. And this contrasts with the mark of the beast that everyone else wears. If we understand whose we are, we begin to see that all the gifts that we've been given in a new light. Now consider right now all that you have. Just allow those to just let the Lord bring that to your mind right now. Your life, your health, your job, your family, your material and spiritual gifts that you've been given. All of these things, they don't belong to you. They don't belong to you. They are gifts that you can enjoy, but they don't belong to you. They belong to God. And you are called to be faithful stewards over them. When we use the gifts God has given us in our own strength or for our own purposes, we are not being faithful stewards. We are acting out of our own self-interest. And when we do so, we don't glorify God. And in fact, we can impede the grace of God flowing through our lives because we've decided to hold on to something thinking that it belongs to us. When Herbert Jackson was a new missionary in Africa, he was assigned a car that wouldn't start unless people pushed the car. And so pondering the problem for a while, he decided that he would take some of the kids from a classroom that was nearby where he lived and have them push the car each morning so that he could get a running start. And as he made his rounds, he would either park his car on a hill or he would leave the engine running the whole time. And he used this ingenious procedure for 2 years. Now, ill health forced the Jackson family to leave, and a new missionary came to his station. And when Jackson proudly began to explain the arrangement about how to get the car started, the new man began looking under the hood of the car. And before Jackson could give a complete explanation, the missionary interrupted and said, "Well, Dr. Jackson, I believe that the trouble is simply a loose cable." And he gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, pushed the button, and to Jackson's astonishment, the car started. For 2 years, needless trouble had become routine. The power was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. The power and grace of God is here all around us. It's here. It's in this room amongst us. But there's often a loose connection that inhibits it from being released. And that loose connection is a misappropriation of the gifts we've been given as human beings. God intends these gifts to glorify Him and to serve others, not to fulfill the desires of our flesh. And when we use those gifts on ourselves, we impede God's grace from being released in the world. But when we use them to serve God and others, God's grace flows through our lives and enables us to be a blessing to the world. And that's what Peter means when he says in verse 10, when he encourages readers to use their gifts as good stewards of God's grace. Something changes in the spiritual atmosphere when we offer our gifts to the Lord or serve others through them. It opens the door to the blessings of the kingdom of God and glorifies His name on the earth. Because you see, they were always meant to be used for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. You know, I can think of numerous occasions in my life when God's grace just was poured out on me because of the way others just self-sacrificially served me. You know, when I was unemployed without any job prospects, God sent an old woman who I didn't know to just give a word of encouragement that literally changed my situation. When my family and I had totaled our car while running over a deer in remote rural Texas, two men came and sacrificially drove us 80 miles to the nearest airport so we could rent a car. When I was traveling through an isolated area of Africa with a high fever and unable to keep anything down, strangers provided me with a place to stay where I could get well. And through these faithful stewards, God revealed love, kindness, and provision to me. And we shouldn't be surprised that God's grace is released through His people. Whether we know it or not, you and I play a critical role in the world experiencing God's unmerited favor. As we use God's gifts to the service of others, we do so in faith, trusting that the Lord is working through us to be an instrument of His grace. And that's why Peter urged his readers in verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. When we leave this place today, seek out opportunities to use the gifts God has given you to serve others. Sacrifice your time to help those in need. Use your gifts to welcome the stranger. Give generously as the Lord shows you opportunities. When someone hurts you, don't hold to your offense, but display the gift of mercy. Because as Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins. Disciples of Jesus must learn to be faithful stewards so that they can be instruments of God's grace in the world. And therefore, we use the gifts he's given us for his sake and for the sake of others to the glory of God. And when we live our lives this way, we can expect that Jesus will proclaim over us one day, "Well done, good and faithful steward." Amen.